Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't it lovely to be in the presence of God? We love to worship, friends, and thank you for joining us today, even on Zoom. God bless you. How many of you believe that He is here? Amen. Praise the Lord. A few years ago, I told you a story that I would like to use again to start my sermon. It's a story of a guitarist named Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton. Now, I'm an amateur guitarist, and I like to listen to professionals like George Benson, B.B. King, Jimi Hendrix, and of course, Eric Clapton. I read what motivated Eric Clapton, and he had a number one song for a long time. The song was called Tears in Heaven. And in 1993, he won the Grammy and the Song of the Year award for that song. Now, I know for a fact that Eric Clapton didn't write that song so that he could get a Grammy award. No. You see, Eric Clapton wrote the song in memory of his son, Connor. On March 20th, 1991, the four-year-old Connor fell to his death from Eric Clapton's 53rd story apartment window. Isn't that something? Apparently, the housekeeper had cleaned the window, and it was a 4x6 window, and left it open to air out the room. Eric was sitting there, but he got up to go and retrieve a fax from his office. And during that time, Connor climbed through the window and fell to his death. As you can imagine, the death of Connor had a deep impact on Eric. He later said, "Something in me died that day too. I kept asking, what if I hadn't gone to the fax machine? What if the housekeeper didn't clean the window?" And he said, "For the next year, I felt like I could not breathe, like I was in a hole with walls so steep, I could never escape." Isn't that something? Maybe you haven't, friends, had an experience like Eric Clapton's tragedy, but maybe you felt like you've been thrust into a deep hole by something that has happened to you. A dark valley with walls so steep, you feel like you could not escape. And so how do you handle these times? What do you do when life caves in? Well, friends, every one of us goes through valley experiences in our lives. In fact, valley experiences are part of life. Every time we go through one of these, we somehow tend to ask, "Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Or is there anyone or anything out there that can help me?" It's normal. And in Psalm 23, David speaks of the dark, deep valley that seems to have no ray of light and where you feel like you're not going to make it. But valleys of pain and hurts and disappointments and frustrations and discouragement and dilemmas of life, although they are valleys, they are not the end of the road. Do you understand, friends? They are not debilitating disasters that means the end of you. David knew those feelings. You see, in other than Psalm 23, verse 1, where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," our text for today has become the most well-known verse in Psalm 23, and that's verse 4. You can tell me from memory, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This morning, I'm going to look at this verse more closely, and we're going to realize that in our valley experiences, we can have victory. Why? Because God is with us. Amen. God is with us, friends. Let me begin by understanding what David is talking about in this verse. This verse, along with John 14, verse 1, where Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." I think it's on it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," are ones that you often hear at funerals. And surely the death of a loved one is a valley. Isn't that true? But sometimes we think that the valley David is referring to here is only the valley of death. But literally, the Hebrew words for this phrase reads the valley of deep darkness. The valley of deep darkness. It is also another name for the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. And we read about this road where the Good Samaritan helped a man along the way. It is a winding road that has very steep slopes on either side. And shepherds often walked along this road on their way to the fields while leading their sheep. And thieves used to hide in the crevices of the rocks and in the caves and steal the lambs and kill people and rob shepherds and so on. But before I go on, friends, don't you just love mountaintop experiences? Eh? Man, mountaintops are normally considered a place of revelation and awe. It means that you receive insight and some inspiration. And I'm having a mountaintop experience. The mountaintop for a Christian is where we meet God, where we hear the Rhema word, which is the spoken word of God, and the Logos word, which is the written word of God, and where we see, as it were, the promised land. Isn't that just marvelous? We all love being on the mountaintop, a place where we can feel God's presence, a place where we can clearly hear God's word, and we are able to follow his leading as he makes it clear. But friends, the valley is different. You see, sometimes we think of a valley as a gentle, rolling meadow where living is ideal. Where Helen and I come from is a city called Pietermaritzburg in KwaZulu-Natal. And not far from Pietermaritzburg, we used to often go for a ride there, is what we call the Midlands Meander. Man, it's just gorgeous. Just rolling hills. You just go down into a little valley and up and around onto another little slope and then down again. It's just beautiful. The Midlands Meander. David, however, is not referring to this type of terrain. He's referring to a deep, dark ravine. A place that is home to the vultures in the day and to wolves in the night. A chasm among the hills, a frightening place. In fact, most scholars believe that David is referring to the valley of the shadow of death, the actual place. It is a deep, dark place to try walk through, let alone lead sheep. And David would often lead his sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. as he made his way to a higher mountain range for summer grazing. But friends, when he says we walk through the valley, he is not talking about this kind of place in a physical sense. He is talking about the emotional sense. He is speaking about a place of deep heartache, rough trauma, and serious suffering. This is a place where shadows are prevalent, where sadness is present, and where suffering is predominant. This is the kind of place David is talking about. Every Christian, listen, every Christian experiences both mountaintops and valleys. Do you agree that with that, friends? We do so because life is filled with ups and downs. The truth is, if you like me, it seems like most of the time our lives are in the valley, where life is challenging, where battles are fought, where feelings are hurt and attitudes are developed, where we struggle with fears and painful circumstances. That's how life seems to be, especially for the last two years. We find ourselves there in the valley experiences for various reasons. It may be spiritual warfare. It may be actions of others, or because of our own rebellious actions, or even it may be because of the hand of God himself. We find ourselves in valleys from time to time. Friends, listen to this sentence. The mountaintop is where we come to meet God, but the valley is where God comes to meet us. Amen. You are not alone. Amen. You are not alone. A child stood before his classroom making a speech. It was called, What I Want to Be When I Grow Up. The little boy said, I'm going to be a lion tamer at the circus. I will have lots of fierce lions. I will walk into the cage and they will roar. I will use a whip to control them. Then he paused for a moment, thinking through what he had just said. And then he added, but of course, I'll have my daddy with me. Friends, yeah, five truths. Brief truths, five truths about valleys that you need to remember when you're going through a tough time. Number one. Valleys are inevitable, or I could say it this way, valleys are unavoidable. One of the worst things that we can do, friends, is to have unrealistic expectations that life will be without trouble and life will be smooth sailing. Don't you agree? Hey, the moment you think life is smooth sailing, then comes a tsunami. Like a young couple came into the pastor's office because they wanted him to perform the marriage ceremony. He told them that they needed to complete a premarital counseling course. The girl looked at the pastor and said, oh, wait now. We won't need that. I know that other couples have problems in marriage, but we won't. We love each other too much. And they looked at each other all starry-eyed. Little did they realize, friends, that they desperately needed the counseling. Isn't that true? Why? Because we all have our struggles, right? We all have our valleys. That's the fact of life. Just as every mountain has a valley, every life has difficulties. And Jesus is very realistic about this. Jesus made it very clear in John 16, verse 33. He said, in the world, you will have tribulations. Now, tribulation, not a word we throw around every day. Tribulations means great trouble, great suffering. That's what Jesus said. In the world, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that marvelous, friends? In this world, you are going to experience disappointment, discouragement, depression, suffering, sorrow, sickness. You're going to experience frustration and fatigue and failure. These things will happen. As we struggle during our time in the valley, David reassures us. He reassures you and I that we can make it through. Amen. We can make it through. Just remember that after every mountaintop experience, there is a valley. Either you are going into one, or you are coming out of one, or you are still in the midst of the valley. You will have many trials and sorrows. There will be people who will misunderstand you, who will criticize you, who will talk evil about you, who will judge you unfairly when you're in that valley. Again, the bad news is that we have to go through these valleys. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Valleys are a normal part of life. They are inevitable, or we can say it, they are unavoidable. The second thing about valleys, friends, is this. Valleys are unpredictable. Unpredictable. Valleys are like that. They just happen. They come upon you all of a sudden without warning. It doesn't matter how good you've been or how careful you've been. Life is such that those valleys will come just the same. Have you ever rode down Highway 28 and say to yourself, hey, this is a nice spot to have a flat tire? No, it happens just like that, mostly at an inconvenient time. It would be very great if we could schedule, some people say, down times in life. You know, 3 o'clock on Wednesday is a good time for me to have a time of depression. Can you do that? Say, no. Listen, I don't want a downtime on Monday. That's my day off, man. You know, that's I like to walk around the mall. No. You can't schedule or plan life like that. Have you noticed how quickly a good day can become a bad day? Have you noticed that? Just a phone call, just an email, just a letter, just a routine doctor's checkup and his report, just a freak accident. Valleys can happen when we least expect them. Listen what Jeremiah 4 verse 20 says. Disaster follows disaster. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My shelter falls in a moment. Why? Because life is uncertain. James 4 verse 14. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? So, don't be surprised. 1 Peter 4 verse 12, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial. Another version says at the fiery ordeal that you are suffering. Don't be surprised by it as though something strange were happening to you. When trials and tribulations come, friends, it helps us to be prepared to expect them, because valleys are unpredictable. Number three, valleys are impartial. I don't want a valley because I got a nice hairstyle. No, valleys don't care about your bank balance. They don't care about what car you drive. They are impartial. No one is immune. It doesn't matter how good or bad you are. They are not selective. They come to the rich and the poor, to men and women. They come to black people and white people. Because no one is exempt from the valley. Everybody has problems, trials, difficulty, disturbances, downtimes, depression. That doesn't mean you are a bad person. It just means that you are a person. The Bible is very clear that good things happen to bad people and that bad things happen to good people. Why? Valleys are impartial. In Matthew 5, verse 45, listen what it says. He gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Isn't that true? God doesn't say, listen here, the day you got saved, your problems are over. He doesn't say the day you put your faith in me and gave your heart to me that you're going to live in a bed of roses. No, it doesn't say that. When you go through a difficult time, a valley in your life, the first reaction is, why me? It should be, why not me? Do you think that we should be exempt from problems everyone else is going through? No. Valleys are inevitable or unavoidable. Secondly, valleys are unpredictable. And thirdly, valleys are impartial. Let me give you some good news. Number four, valleys are temporary. Now, you should be dancing on the ceiling for this one. Valleys are temporary. Amen. They have an end, friends. They don't last. They are not our permanent home. You know that some people are such chronic complainers that they set down the roots in the valley with no intentions of moving. They have pitched a tent in their sorrow, satisfied with their self-pity. It's no wonder that, you know, Jesus comes to the pool of Bethesda. He spots a fellow there. This fellow has been sick for 38 years. We find the story in John chapter 5. You know what Jesus says to him? Hey, buddy. Do you want to be made well? You know why he asked that question? Because some people were just enjoying being sick and sorry. Isn't that so? They just enjoy the attention. I can see this guy by the pool of Bethesda, somebody bringing him an apple. Hey, buddy, he has an apple for you. Eh? And he's just getting lunch there on time. He's just laying by the pool. Man, won't you like that? Hey, 38 years, you're just laying in the sun, man. You're just sunbathing. And people are just coming to fuss you. Maybe this is not his story, but that's just something I just said. Don't worry about it. And so Jesus says, do you want to be made well? Some people get comfortable in the valley, friends. God will meet us in the valley as long as we don't decide to take up residence there. Some people have been down so long until it doesn't enter their mind to get up. Some people have been in the valley so long that they decide to stay there. They give up and stop praying. They stop reading the Bible. They stop coming to church. Why? Man, you know, this last 2-year-old valley is nice, man. I get to sit on my... Anyway. Their faith is challenged. Their hope is gone. They're like the Israelites who asked while they were in exile, how can we sing songs of Zion in such a strange land? That strange land was their valley, and so they didn't want to worship. How can we sing songs of Zion in such a strange land? But listen, friends, if only they were like the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were willing to go through the fiery furnace, but they refused to camp there. They said with great assurance that through the fire, through the flame, through the smoke, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. They were saying, go ahead, man. Put us in the fire. Because that's only a temporary place. When it comes to a valley, don't give up, friends. Don't give up. Don't quit. If only they were like Moses at the Red Sea or Daniel in the lion's den, ask them and they will tell you that Egypt was only a temporary place because God opened the Red Sea and they walked out. Amen. Ask Daniel. Daniel will tell you, hey, the lion's den is a temporary place because God shut the jaws of the lions. Amen. I know we all have troubled times, friends, but we can rest assured that God does not intend us to stay in those troubled times. We are passing through. We are passing through. God has designed you for something better. If you continue in your journey, all that you are doing, going through, friends, will pass away. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our present struggles, listen. You say, Keith, you don't know, man. I'm struggling, okay? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Isn't that marvelous? David says, hey, man, even though I walk through the valley is not something you stay your entire life. They don't come into your life to stay. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Amen. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Isn't that lovely, friends? There is a joyful, wonderful joy ahead. And yeah, Peter is talking about heaven. There's no problems in heaven. No valleys, no dark days, no tears, no death. If you know the shepherd as your Lord, that's where you go in. Even if you are 80 years old or 90 years old or 100 years and you have a problem every day of your life, that is so insignificant compared to the thousands of years in eternity that will be problem free. One day in heaven, Dwight's going to say, hey, Keith, remember Smoky Lake? And I'll say, yeah, but that was 255,000 years ago. Our valleys don't last if we have eternal glory, friends. And that brings us to the fifth and final truth. Valleys are purposeful. God has a reason, friends, for taking you through the valley, for allowing you to have a valley experience, whether it's doubt or depression or despair or discouragement or defeat. He has a reason behind it. Listen, don't miss verse 3. I know we've been speaking about verse 4 today, but Psalm 23, verse 3, David is saying, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Isn't that true? He leads me. And in the same breath, David says, and you know what? One of those paths that I follow him is through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with me. He's with me. Friends, the shepherd allows you to go through your valley so that you can prove your faith. We all love mountaintop experiences, but we don't build faith on the mountaintop. We build faith in the valleys. We build faith in the valleys of life. When we come face to face with the dark valley, we get on our knees. Listen, friends, God is far more interested in your character than in your comfort. You see, God's goal is not to just make life comfortable for you. God wants to make you like Jesus. Was Jesus exempted from suffering? No. Will you? No. You're not exempted too. Did Jesus go through times of loneliness? Yes. Will you? Yes. Was Jesus ever tempted to be discouraged? Yes. Will you? Yes. Was Jesus ever misunderstood and criticized unjustly? Yes. Will you? Sure. Does God cause accidents and tragedies? No, God is a good God, and he will not cause or do evil. But you know what? He can use accidents and tragedies for good. He can use even the evil done to us by others, turn it around and bring it good out of it by building character in us. Friends, when you are traveling through the valley, remember the promises of God, the providence of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. Okay? We don't drag our feet in the valley. Oh, man, I'm just terrible. No. Hey, man, we walk up straight. It makes Satan fed up, man. Makes him mad. Why? David said, the ancient king of Israel, please accept this fact, friends. Even in your deepest valley, your darkest day, God is there. God is there. You are never alone. And David said, be that as it may, the Lord is my shepherd. He didn't get into a debate to see whether he's someone else's shepherd. David simply said, because of my relationship with God and my personal endeavor to serve God, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. A man named Bob Benson says, when life caves in, you do not need reasons, you need comfort. You do not need some answers. You need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation. He comes to us with his presence. I want to end with this little story. A famous actor was once a guest of honor at a social gathering where he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary works. An old preacher who happened to be there asked the actor to recite Psalm 23. The actor agreed on one condition, that the old preacher also recited after him. The actor's recitation was beautifully intoned with great dramatic emphasis, for which he received lengthy applause. The preacher's voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. When someone asked the actor what made the difference, he replied, "I know the song, but he knows the shepherd." You see that, friends? This morning, as we bow our heads, trust him today. Trust him. Jesus is not saying, you know why you're going through this? He has a list. You see number one, Pete. Then number two. No. He doesn't come with explanations. He comes with his presence. Do you know that he is called the lily of the valley? Isn't that true? You know, he's not the rose of Sharon that grows on the top of the hill. He's the lily of the valley. In the valley where the lily grows is full of muck and mire and mud and slime and dirt. That's where the lily grows. Jesus is with you, friends, no matter what. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.